And now it's 8:30, and time for Saturday Night Theatre.
Alan Lake as Masters, an honest villain.
Derek Newark as Lou, a dissatisfied villain.
Oscar James as Button, a cool villain.
Roger Hammond as Fat Man, an effete villain.
In Plots Have I Laid by John Rollison.
Flames are 100 feet high. I never in all my life saw anything like it.
6 months' work and one big 10-minute bonfire, Donald.
Keep those spectators back.
Such waste, man. It's obscene.
Now you see why we chose this target, eh? Don't worry, Donald. They'll pay.
Keep the wind machine blowing. They get those sparks flying.
It's an ill wind, eh, Stuart? The sparks. They haven't begun to fly yet.
Do you mind?
Eh?
I was listening to that.
There's that old woman going in the bank again.
Log it. I said I was listening to that ring wireless.
Load of cobblers.
How would you know?
Plays.
Switch it back on.
Listening to that takes your mind right off the job. Look, please.
You're paid to drive. You don't need a mind.
It's hard enough to concentrate without that rubbish.
Just switch it back and shut your face.
In my opinion, they cause accidents. Please. They should be banned in cars.
I said, switch it on. This is a very interesting story.
Well, I just hope we got all that was going, Jed.
My head went like clockwork. I never had a fire go smoother. That stunt guy's jump looked real good, too.
I'll rest a lot easier when I view the rushes. There's no second take on this one.
You worry too much. Everybody's delighted with you bringing the picture in 5 days ahead of schedule. Here, let me fix your drink.
You know, I'm not sure we were entirely right to aim this picture down market so much.
Well, like the man said, nobody ever lost money underestimating the public's taste. I give you the toast. Art for art's sake, and money for Christ's sake.
What's that supposed to mean, anyway?
It means they're like us, Lou. They're keen on turning over the pennies.
Right, let's get in nearer. I want to see exactly how they shut the doors.
Hello, Hillary.
Evening.
Oh, good Lord, look at the time. It's almost 3:30. Now, where's my checklist?
Here.
Good. Ah, yes, yes. Oh, God, no. Oh, did you send that script off to Brian Forbes?
Yes.
Right. Right, into battle. Yes, I'd better get on to ATV about Turney's idea for the new series. I think it might be up their street. Let's just run it up the flagpole, shall we? Get me ATV, will you, dear?
We ran it up on Tuesday and no one saluted. Where did you go for lunch?
There's no need for that tone.
And Ian Rodway telephoned.
Oh, yes.
He said something about a radio play he's got on. Ian's a nice chap.
Yeah.
We don't seem to do much for him.
Such as?
You are supposed to be his literary agent, you know. Personally, I like his plays. Very imaginative.
I got him 6 months on Crossroads last year.
Real, somehow.
No, he's nice enough, I grant you. But I mean, what can I do?
You could take a bit more than 10%. You could take an interest. He tries so hard.
Shall I tell you something, my dear? The world is full of people. Am I right?
What am I supposed to say?
And apart from the few sad drabs for whom everything is too much, they're all trying. Millions and millions of little triers. All out there, trying. And how many of them ever make it?
You tell me.
Very, very few. And what do they have? What essential ingredient makes them different?
Is it animal, vegetable, or mineral?
It's not talent. God knows it's not necessarily talent.
Talent must help.
But naturally.
Oh, come on, then. Make with the pearl.
Flair. Capital F-L-A-I-R. Flair for success. A capacity for making people notice you, choose you, or whatever it is you're marketing. and it's truer in show business than most. I mean, look at young Rodway. What was he until 2 years ago? A teacher, and how old is he?
38-ish.
An ordinary teacher. By that age, Matthew Arnold was headmaster of Rugby.
Thomas, and aren't we waxing this afternoon?
A teacher writing a few scripts in his spare time.
Marketable scripts?
Oh, marketable, sure. Tight, original, quite clever in their own way. But that's as far as it goes. There's no intuitive leap in the dark. There's no flair.
Then why did you take him on?
There's always a need for writers like that. I've got a living to make. I don't kid myself, though, that Ian Rodway is going to make my fortune. Just the rent or the telephone bill.
I see. Well, I told him you'd call him back. And as he's paying for the call...
Here's your drink, Larry.
Oh, thanks.
That was a very brave thing you did today. Jumping through that burning roof with your coat on fire. Most impressive.
That's a living.
What will you be doing next?
All this huffing in the book at the moment. Cheers.
Yeah.
I see things are slack in the industry. What about you? Extra lawyer?
Not exactly, no. I was just on the stairs, a visitor, in a manner of speaking.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's a nice guy, thanks.
Now, there's an injustice.
What's that?
A brave and strong young man like yourself without employment.
Oh, I'll get by.
I have a stunt to be done.
You?
It would involve a leap of some 12 feet from the roof of one building to another.
Well, that's nothing special. What else?
Now, the rest will be routine.
Well, when do you want it done, this job?
Tonight.
Film, is it?
No. The real thing. Real bricks. Real mortar. Real money.
Yeah, nice.
One
nice.
Building to another?
Yes.
I think I'll get you.
I was hoping you might. You're interested?
Well, it depends.
On the fee import, naturally.
On the risk as well.
The only risk to you would be the jump. I mean, there'll be no old egg boxes to break your fall like today. But naturally, the remuneration would reflect that.
How much?
Shall we open negotiations at 10?
For a job like that, you've got to be humorous. 10 quid.
10,000.
Ian Rodway.
Oh, hello, is that you, Ian?
Yes, speaking.
Brian Rogers here, dear heart.
Oh.
Miss Festival of Light says you want word.
Oh, yes, I see.
You sound rather vague. Is everything okay?
Yes.
Well?
It was only, you see, that Negative Earth...
Not quite with you, Ian.
My play, I mean, about the film hijack.
Oh, that! Is that all the BBC had bought it?
They did, and it's on.
Oh, great. When?
Now, at the moment.
Oh, I see.
Well, that's why I rang you, see, I was going to tell you to listen.
Oh, of course, I'm with you now. When does it start?
It's halfway through.
Oh, what a...
Look, I'll ring you back when it's finished. Thanks for ringing. Bloody agents. I'm missing one of the best bits.
For us, there's no moon out tonight.
Right then, laddie. That building on the other side of the alley is the film laboratory. Once you're over, you skim down that drain pipe, open the side door into the yard. Then you can disappear, leave the rest to us.
What about more money?
You'll be paid when we've got the film negative safely out and away. Trust us, laddie.
Yeah, okay, I trust you.
We shan't let you down.
Load of bleeding amateurs. Just keep your eyes on the road.
Nobody calling action. I've only ever jumped on a queue.
Go on, now. Good luck.
Only the door's not locked, that's all.
It isn't. Just bolt it from the inside.
Go on, then.
Right. He's in position. Oh, my bonny wee boy, like a bat on the wing, over the sea to sky. He's over, Stuart.
Can I trust him, Donald? I'd have felt happier if he was a Scot.
He was...
Come, don't get me killed listening to that rubbish. Did you see that, Bass?
Call it, Lou. You were too near him, man.
Bleeding jungle bunnies! Stupid git!
Lou!
Look, we're in no hurry. Just pull into that lay-by.
For nobody before was listening to plays.
Man, I thought it sounded good.
Even when I chauffeur for Fat Man, and Gord knows he can wipe the floor with anybody when it comes to talking, even Fat Man never listened to plays. He'd have that funny music on by the hour. I never minded that.
I shan't tell you again.
The news, even. But not all that old rabbit Scotch twats.
Who's that?
A Scotch idiot, semi to play.
How can they be stupid, man?
Well, listen to him. Of course they're stupid.
They're characters. They can't be stupid. They're just characters talking. It takes a man to be stupid. Flesh and blood man. Like you.
Who are you calling stupid?
Look, Lou. I am bored to suffocation with your ugly, moaning voice.
Well, you think I'm going to sit here and let him call me stupid straight out of the trees here as he calls me stupid, insulting git?
If I have one more word from you, you'll be out of a job.
Eh? What job?
This job.
If we ever do it.
We've been watching that bank now every Wednesday for 6 weeks.
We'll move and I think we are ready.
If I know Fat Man, he'll be getting a bit anxious about you.
Hey, oh, anxious, eh? Anxious, that's a big word for you, isn't it, eh? Anxious. You see what you've got from listening to that play?
I never got it from anything.
Oh, yeah, and why should Fat Man be getting anxious?
Well, we ain't getting on with it, are we? We're not doing anything. He won't like it.
My father was like you, Lou. Oh, in some ways. He had this sense of guilt about work. If we wasn't between the shafts by daybreak, it fretted him.
Between the shafts?
Like a cart horse.
Are you saying I'm a cart horse?
Not at all. I was just...
He's idle, man.
I shan't tell you again.
I mean, one day's work a year's fine by me, if I can really score. That's all I need. I mean, you might have been stony ground for that playwright, Lou, but he made a fair point with me.
Hey, it was a lovely idea, man. Really cool.
Exactly. You know, it started me thinking, I can tell you. I mean, how much would a chap like that make for putting all that stuff together?
Search me.
And all those words, eh? Eh?
I never got anxious from it. I knew anxious before this ball.
Those words and that one lovely idea, that really beautiful notion.
What idea?
Those Scotch twats of yours, the Patriots or whatever they were, they wanted funds, didn't they?
Like us, man.
And how did they go about raising it? Not by doing a bank or knocking off a payroll. Nothing obvious, like Fat Man thinks up for us. No way.
Hey, just by knocking off a bit of film. Fantastic.
So simple and so perfect.
Sounds stupid to me.
What reasoning? The film company burned down all the set for the final scene in the picture.
An expensive bit of property too, boss. £500,000.
They can't put it back again, can they? Like the director said, without that fire, the picture goes for nothing. So in fact, that bit of film's worth at least £500,000, right? At least £500,000.
I never heard of such a job before.
Nor me. I mean, that film laboratory had got £500,000 lying about in a building you could get into with a tin opener, because for them, it wasn't money.
Why don't Fat Man dream us up something like that?
Because he's not an artist, Button. He's not a writer. I mean, crime comes easier to them than us villains.
That Agatha Crystal, she had some good ideas.
Oh, yes, indeed she did. Unfortunately, however, she is no longer with us.
I shouldn't guess more than 500?
Aye?
For writing a play without pictures.
500, eh? And yet he offered the stuntman £10,000 without a second thought.
Well, that was just a play. Monopoly money, kid stuff.
I mean, he has a beautiful idea, and he blows it for 500.
He ain't too clever then, I reckon.
Nor too rich neither, eh? Would you say he's married?
Search me.
Ideas like that. I mean, he's not a lad. I should think he's married.
Unless he's one of them.
One of them what?
Poofs. Bents. There's a lot of them in that business that way.
Oh, what a man of the world you are, Lou.
You ain't the only one that's been around. I know as much about poofs as you, and a damn sight more. When you've done the porridge I've done...
How long would a guy take to write all that down?
It couldn't be less than 2 or 3 weeks, and... That's... He's working for labourer's money. A bloke with ideas like he has. Look, I mean, even Lou wouldn't turn out for that kind of money, now, would you, Lou?
You're right into me today, aren't you? It ain't my fault if you've lost your bottle.
I beg your pardon.
Bottle? Nerve? We ain't never going to pull this bank job and you know it.
Is that true, boss?
Look, we'll do it when it's ready for us. At the moment... I'll tell you this, though. I don't believe in the job. I can't feel it. It's got no vibrations for me.
Your trouble is you listen to too many plays.
Now, that operation now. Ripping off the negative of the film and demanding £500,000 to give it back. Oh, now that I can feel. It really gets to me.
It really were a really nice tickle.
Well, we ain't doing that job. Come to think of it, we ain't doing any job. And I had my lecky bill this morning. It's twice what it was last time, even with the meter fixed.
You'll get yourself in trouble.
When are we going to start earning?
How would anybody get in touch with this bloke, Rodway?
What bloke's that?
Ian Rodway. We present Negative Earth, a new play by Ian Rodway. That's what the announcer said.
I don't rightly know why.
I'd like to meet him.
We'll get him on the blower.
But I haven't got his number.
Look it up.
Good thinking, Lou. Ah, but supposing he's not in or he doesn't live in London?
It depends how much you want to see him.
Oh?
When I wanted to find out who my old lady had gone off with, I hired me a gumshoe.
Aye?
A private investigator, man. 50 ones in his top pocket, it cost me.
Did he find her?
Find her? He brought her back, man. Hell, that wasn't the deal. So you be careful with this Ian Rodway, because once you found him, He might be a real awkward cuss to rid yourself of.
There must be easier ways of tracing a man.
Put the word out.
And which of our associates would be likely to know the whereabouts of a man like him?
2 years ago, you could have run up one of the lads at the yard. They'd always help you. Those were the days.
Nostalgia, Lou. It's a disease in this country.
Ring up the BBC.
Oh, and have my name broadcast all over.
There was this picture on the telly the other night.
Well, maybe you could put an advert in the paper. Mm.
About this writer and his wife. Quite tasty, really. He was doing all that writing stuff. You should have seen the books he had up on his walls. Till his wife ran off with his agent. Huh? Then he went right off.
That's it. That is it. You've just earned yourself a raise, Lou.
Eh? What for?
Agent. Writers have agents, don't they? I mean, well, even if there's a dozen, we'll ring them all.
He must have made a real good impression on you, boss.
Oh, he has, Button. And I'm going to do something about it. He'll never go short of paper and pencil if I have my way.
You fancy yourself acting in one of his plays, do you?
You could put it like that, yes. Hey, Button, what time is it?
3:50.
Well, just switch it back on. I'd like to hear how it ends. And oh, not that it really matters. The idea was what counted.
I can tell you how it ends, man. Like it always do. With the villains inside. Them plays. That's the only ending, Arbor.
That's true, Button. True. You know, I'll wager writers make more arrests a year than the police ever do. But that's only in plays. In life, we write our own endings. Just switch it on.
Don't have to, sir. It's our job.
What I still can't fathom out, Inspector, is how you got wise to them in the first place.
It was something you said, actually, sir.
Me?
Yes, you mentioned that the filming had finished 5 days ahead of schedule.
Well, yeah,
well,
but
we knew
not...
how they got into the processing laboratory.
Good,
and we knew that there were very few of our regular customers who'd attempt that jump at night. It was very much a specialist job. Someone who was used to taking risks. Put those two facts together.
And jump to a conclusion, eh?
Only people connected with the films would know that the film of the fire would be in the laboratory that night.
And only a professional risk-taker would attempt that jump.
Precisely.
Well, I hope you'll be free for the premiere.
I dare say on my turn. What's it to be an idol?
Us, Inspector. Us.
Donald Baird was played by John Church, Stuart McLean and the Stuntman by Alan Lake, the Inspector, Derek Newark, Jed Haydenwood, the Film Director, Roger Hammond. Negative Earth by Ian Rodway was directed by Peter King.
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Direction a bit old-fashioned, and it could have been a bit tighter here and there, but all in all, yeah, quite a neat little play. Now, which of my friends is going to win the race to the phone to congratulate me? Well, oh, come on! Anybody? If only 1 in 50 people heard it, there must be at least 1 million fans out there, all busting to tell me how thrilled they are. Oh, come on! Bust your bums! Oh, God, it's lonely at the top. Hey, I wonder if any of the kids heard it. No. Most of them are left school by now, working. Like Jean. And how's my clever little husband today? Did he get any work done? Oh, they're thinking of getting me a new typewriter, one of those that corrects all the mistakes. I shall be able to do your typing on it in the lunch hour. No, no, darling, of course I don't mind. You must do what you think you must do, Ian. It's very important for actors and writers and people like that to be fulfilled. Much more than working in a dreary solicitor's office. Oh, go on, ring, you bastard, ring. Solicitor. Perhaps I should set my next play in a solicitor's office. Yeah. What about if Hetherington, the junior partner, unmarried, meets this woman one day? Oh, damn. Hello?
Brian Rogers here, old darling.
Oh, hello, Brian.
I called the last few minutes of Negative Earth. Very neat.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, yes, I did. Not much good for the box, though, eh? Far too expensive.
Yeah, I suppose not.
I thought for a moment it might have made a reasonable episode for Firetech. Yeah, it's a new series they're doing, but I reckon they'll have got all they need by now. Still, it's worth a try.
They did a series years ago on radio called Firetech, Brian. I'm sure they did.
Oh, really? Yes. I can't copyright an idea, worse luck. It sounds like a winner.
Couldn't you try some of my stuff around? I mean, I'm sure that half of what I watch
is... Oh, I try, dear heart. Don't think I don't.
Does that mean there's nothing around at the moment?
Well, nothing definite. But you know yourself, in showbiz, things can change overnight.
Yeah, when one door closes behind you, another one slams in your face, I know.
The thing is to keep going.
Thanks for the encouragement.
Rest assured, if I hear of anything, I'll be on to you tout suite.
I know you will, Brian, thanks.
Nil desperandum. Let me know what you've got on the stocks.
Listen, Brian, I was just thinking. Something my wife said only yesterday. You know she's working...
Oh, sorry, old lad. There's somebody on the other line. I'll call you back and on. Cheers.
He may not be the thickest man in London, but he's on a short list. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah. Now, supposing that this solicitor, unmarried, about 35, and this woman comes into the office one day and asks him... And one day this woman comes into the office with all this money
and
notes...
Tea, darling.
Isn't there any beer?
It's Wednesday.
Well, is the off-licence closed?
No, my purse is. I can't see a solicitor's office being very exciting.
Well, it could be.
I work in one all day, and you can take my word there's more happening in Highgate Cemetery.
Well, it's not really the solicitor's office, it's the main
solicitors.
Setting.
I mean, why do writers always have to choose solicitors or doctors? Why not get out and about?
Well, what do you suggest?
I don't know, I'm not that clever. Why don't you ever hear any cowboy plays?
Cowboys?
You get enough of them on the television. I never heard a play on the radio about cowboys or Indians.
Cowboys?
Well, I'm not a writer, but I don't see why not. Why is it always doctors and the like?
I don't know anything about cowboys.
Well, it was only for instance. One writer in the family is enough. Anyway, I read the other day that Edgar Wallace wrote Saunders of the River in Catford, London, Southeast 12. That's not exactly Africa. It's not even near a river.
I'm sorry I spoke.
Anyway, how did it go this afternoon?
Oh, all right.
I'd have loved to have heard it, you know that, but... Mother liked it. She rang me at the office, said she couldn't quite follow it, but it was very convincing.
Why didn't she phone me?
You know what she's like. Probably didn't want to disturb you.
Along with the other million.
What?
Nothing. Oh, that's a drag about this kind of work I do. There's no feedback. The one thing the good old public never hear and never read is the writer's name. That was Negative Earth, a play for radio by... Wham, they've stopped listening.
We have got the miseries, haven't we? Have some more tea,
sorry,
dear.
Love. The same old reaction whenever I start up from scratch again. It'll be fine as soon as I get stuck in. I know it will.
You never used to get these moods before.
Before what?
Before you gave up teaching.
I did? Just took it out on the kids. Now I've only got you.
Oh, I wonder who that can be.
Hey, your mother never said anything about coming round this evening, did she?
No, she did not.
All right, I'm coming.
Is this Rodway's house, the writer bloke?
Yes, what can I do?
I was told to drop this off.
What? Who told you to do that?
That's all I was told, lady. Night.
Who is it, love?
God knows. A man at the door. Just thrust this parcel into my hands and fled.
Oh, are you sure he got the right address?
Yes. He asked if Ian Rodway, the writer, lived here. And I said yes, and he pushed it at me.
Oh, come on, let's open it.
Oh, no, what about if it's something funny?
What was his accent?
Cockney.
Oh, that's okay, then. Good Lord. Look at this. Pure malt whiskey. This is nectar.
There's an envelope.
Dear Mr. Rodway, congratulations on your play. I've been thinking of nothing else since I heard it. Please to accept the scotch on behalf of yourself and the Cointreau for your good lady.
Oh, lovely. Who's it from?
Well, it isn't signed. Well, what are you waiting for, woman? Two glasses and look sharp. This calls for a celebration. I got through to someone. I got feedback.
The horse got Lester pick it up, ma'am. Sen said to me she'll walk it.
Who does news about it?
He's a ghostwriter for the 415.
What's his form?
Ain't got none. Oh.
Never heard of him. Now, what's Newsboy doing, tipping a total outsider?
He must know something to tip him against the mighty Lester.
Yeah. Fancy another beer?
No, thanks, boss. Drinking at dinner time gives me a headache.
You're probably right.
Put the light tail by the neck when you're ready, Arthur.
All right.
Where's Lou this morning?
Oh, God knows. He's probably gone down to sign on down the labour.
What for you want to go to a place like that?
Ah, you know Lou. He's tight as a duck's arse. Yeah, he cops a gyro for 40 quid a week off him. He's been doing it for months.
Then they never check up on him? I mean, what does he say he's out to work out?
It's a diabolical liberty, really, though, isn't it? No wonder the country's up the spout, with every layabout on the fiddle. It'd serve him right if they got him a job, to do him a lesson.
I don't think it's right, boss. From our point of view, the less people come round to ask questions, the better.
Too true, Button. But you try telling him. The bent little Burke's claiming for half a dozen kids he hasn't got at all.
The man is a liability, man.
Begin to come to the same conclusion. I sent him on a job last night. He never checked back to tell me how it went.
What was that?
Just a delivery, but he should have come back to me. Still, who knows? We might not need a driver much longer.
Hey, boss. Look who's drinking on the bar.
Good God. Is he out already?
He must have got parole from the board.
They must be balmy.
He spotted us. He's coming over.
Well, if he shakes hands, don't forget to count your fingers.
Hello, Rummo. Let you out, did they?
I can't keep a good man down, Mr. Masters.
They made you promise to be a good boy, did they?
Parole, yes. Golf clubs.
Are you buying or selling?
Don't be funny, Mr. Masters. Selling, of course.
The real estate or the ironmongery?
Eh?
You say golf clubs.
I got two nice sets, one in a leather bag.
It don't take you long, does it, Romo?
I've got to live.
Not the golf clubs again, Romo. You know, I put stealing them on a par with robbing the poor box. It's immoral.
What do you mean?
These golf clubs. They're not in your car, are they, Romo? Look who's just come in.
The filth.
See you,
excuse
Romo.
Me. Sorry. Excuse me. Just...
it oughtn't to be allowed. Really, this place is going right downhill. Rummo and Inspector Barnes. We shall have to look about for a new venue, Button.
Arthur! A man could die of thirst in this pub.
The inspector, he's seen you.
So?
I think we should go.
No, I do the thinking. Anyway, here's Arthur with my light ale.
Sorry about that, Mr. Masters. We've got visitors.
So I see.
Yeah, well, I thought perhaps I
should... You shouldn't draw attention to me by bringing a drink over. Very considerate, Arthur, but we've got nothing to hide, have we, Button?
I best be getting back.
Yes, the light...
On the house.
Thank you. Look at him, Button. Look about you. Did you ever see such a load of frozen rabbit? At moments like this, I sometimes feel a tinge of shame. Ah, where were we? Oh, yes, the 4:15 at Haydock Park. Now... Who do you say my favourite tipster fancies?
Ghostwriter.
What's your choice?
Adiposity.
It's a strange name for a Gigi. Do you know what it means?
No.
Well, it's the posh word of fatness. Fatness. Adiposity versus the ghostwriter. Hey, you know, Button, I think I'm being told something.
Come again?
Adiposity versus ghostwriter in the 4:15, eh? Well, we shall soon find out.
Exquisite. Exquisite. Oh, help yourself to chocolates, Lewis. The square ones, if you please.
Thank you, sir.
Vivaldi was a man of the cloth, you know.
Oh?
A teacher priest in a girl's school for 37 years. Il Preto Rosso. The red priest.
Commie, was he?
He was called that, my dear boy, on account of his red hair. Oh, what lovely music. And all for little girls.
I see.
A silly fellow. Now, to what do I owe the pleasure...
Eh?
...of the visitation, dear boy...
Well, I thought I'd better come and see you.
That I gather.
Seeing as it's all been down to you.
Down to me?
Our past successes.
I understand. Or do I? Expatiate.
Eh?
A tell-all.
Well, there ain't really a lot to tell. There's not a lot to go on.
But sufficient to worry that sweet little head.
Well, you've been very good to us all of us in the past, sir.
And will be again. And we'll be again. Is it the contract?
Yes and no.
Really, Lewis, you are being obtuse.
It's not the contract that's going wrong.
I'm glad to hear of it. The compliance of the security guard of that van has involved our organization in a large capital outlay. I take it the delivery is still made on Wednesday afternoons?
Yes, always after dinner. About 2:30.
Excellent. And postprandially, for the last 6 Wednesdays, you have been surveying the location.
We've been sussing it out, yeah.
VG.
It's just... He keeps listening to the plays.
I beg your pardon?
The plays on the wireless of a Wednesday afternoon.
Who does?
The boss, Masters.
Well, bless my soul. But as they say in the Americas, whatever turns you on, baby.
Now he's started to take notice of them.
Notice of them. In what way?
There was this play on yesterday. It was Wednesday yesterday.
And?
Well, it was about these Scotch blokes and that. And
I'm trying very hard, Lewis, to to interpret what you are saying and arrange it into a coherent and comprehensive sequence.
They knocked off this picture.
Not the most original of plots, my dear mannequin. The great Will Hay, before your time, of course, used such a theme for a film, the Mona Lisa, no less.
Not a painted picture. A picture-ass picture.
Oh, a film?
Yes. They stole this film out of a where they print it and that. Then they demanded $500,000 for it back off the studio.
Well, a small ray of light pierces the gloom.
Now he's taking notice of it. He tried to make us all listen. And he said it was cleverer than what we was doing.
I see. What a pity the absence of a British film industry precludes such a wheeze in real life.
It's not just that, sir.
Loxamasi, is there more?
He's been in touch with this agent, and this bloke told him where this Ian Rodway lives.
Ian Rodway?
Yeah, the geezer what fought up this play.
You're sure of the facts?
Of course I'm sure. I took a parcel around his house last night.
A parcel from Masters?
Yeah, it was a sweetener for something.
Sweetener?
Dropsy, a present.
Well, isn't that fascinating?
Well, I thought you ought to know.
What a dear chap you are, Lewis. Invaluable. Thank you so much for coming. Close the door after you, please. Goodbye.
Oh, yes. Well, cheers, Edson.
Oh, I almost forgot. Here you are.
What's this, sir?
Antonio Vivaldi, you may not recognize. Your native tongue may remain forever a labyrinth or impenetrable jungle, but what you are grasping now, that should provide no problem.
Money?
Dropsy. A sweetener. A present. And there will be further physical demonstrations of gratitude whenever you should call. Good afternoon.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I don't have to...
Good afternoon.
Brian?
Yes?
It's Ian Rodway. He's outside.
Oh. Well, what does he want?
A chat, I think.
What does he think this is? The Citizens Advice Bureau?
I told him you could spare 5 minutes.
Oh, very well. Show him in, but no longer. Writers, all they ever want to do is talk.
Ian, dear heart, how nice to see you. Pull up a Sheraton and sit down.
Oh, hello, Brian.
Hillary says you've something on your mind.
Oh, not especially. I was just passing.
Oh, you'll pop up. Marvellous, marvellous.
Any reaction yet?
To what?
My piece, you know, Negative Earth.
Not really.
Yes.
My housekeeper said you'd heard it. Very nice, dear, very nice.
I've got another idea.
Oh, great, that's the stuff. Keep it coming. Drop me a couple of paras and I'll cast it upon the waters.
It's about a young
solicitor.
Only
a couple of paras. They think a lot of you at Broadcasting House, London, W1A, 1AA.
Okay. There's nothing else, is there?
Not offhand. Though, if you've got an idea for a new series, I think the commercial boys are shopping.
Oh?
But they're emphatic. No detectives, oil rigs, bounty hunters, hospitals, crooks, soldiers, sailors, vicars, big businessmen, small businessmen, or animals. Oh, yes, or nuns.
What about Siamese twins?
That they may go for. One thing you can be certain, however, when they do buy, it'll be something on that list.
Yeah, well, if I can think of anything, I will.
Whistle it in. Yes, whistle it in, and I'll fly it up the flagpole.
Right, right.
Well, anything else?
No, not really. I was just up in town, you know.
I've got a director coming in a couple of minutes.
Oh, by the way.
I almost forgot. I had a phone call about you yesterday.
Oh, really?
Some joker came on and said he'd heard your play.
Oh?
No, nothing professional. He was just a listener, and could he have your address?
Oh, so that's how he got it. I had a parcel delivered last evening from someone who said he'd like the play.
Parcel?
Yeah, a couple of bottles of hooch, no less.
Oh, well, with fans like that, you might come into a fortune yet.
Oh, there you are, Lou. But where have you been all day?
Bit of this, bit of that.
I don't like it when you don't check in.
The wife, she got me giving her hand with the curtains.
You watch yourself.
What do you mean?
Those stepladders can be very dangerous things.
Oh. You'll make me laugh one of these days. Where's Button?
Oh, what an errand for me.
It's about all he's good for, errands.
I nearly forgot. Did you drop that parcel?
Yeah.
What kind of house is it?
Nothing special. It's on a bit of an estate. It's more of a masonette, really.
Did you see him?
No, a tart came to the door. She weren't nothing special neither.
Well, as long as it got there safely.
Personally, I'd have reckoned these showbiz people live in better places than that. I've got friends as have far better places.
He's a writer, Lou. He doesn't need that kind of flash up front.
Yeah, but I mean, bleeding hell, there wasn't even no carpet on the old floor.
So what?
Well, compared with... anywhere, it's rubbish.
Compared with where?
Well, with Fat Man's, for one. You should see the carpet in his hall.
Oh, yeah.
And lots of people.
I didn't know you set it a store by carpet, Lou. I'll remember that. Here's Button.
I'm sorry. Sorry I'm late, boss. There was this terrible crush down at the betting shop.
Well?
That newsboy, boss. He's got to be a genius tipster.
Yeah?
Yeah! There you are. 95 pounds.
Woo!
Blimey.
A ghostwriter come from nowhere to finish first.
Did he? Did he now? What about adiposity?
Nowhere. Nowhere at all. I reckon he got left on the post.
That settles it. Here. Take this and order us up a bottle of champagne. This calls for a celebration. Then I start moving.
Obviously, when the financial affairs between our clients have been settled, a credit can be given to your client in a similar way to credit being given to our client for the mortgage installments which he has paid for the matrimonial health. Yours, truthfully, blah, blah, blah.
Will that be all, Mr. Hetherington?
Yes, yes. Oh, no hurry, Jean. Morning Post will do.
Oh, right.
I don't know. This job is enough to put anyone off, marriage. Oh, Sherry?
Thanks. Oh, come on, they're not all that gruesome.
Yeah, perhaps not. How's Ian bearing up?
Pretty well. He gets a little depressed sometimes.
Ah, well, the artistic temperament. I forgot to ask. How did his play go?
Oh, thanks. Very well, I think.
Beats me how he can think them up. I mean, what does he really know about crime?
Cheers. He always had a vivid imagination.
I suppose he must. To dream up all that detail.
Yeah, he says it comes as he writes. He thinks of more things as he goes along.
Well, the criminals I deal with don't seem to have much. Most of them can't even remember details of jobs they actually did. Oh, you hear the odd case that's got a lot of originality, but by and large, they're a very hidebound lot.
Perhaps that's why they get caught.
More often than not, I'd say. Modus operandi. As good as fingerprints to a competent copper. How many times have I heard, well, it was just going to be the one more job, Governor, to set us up in a little shop or something. So, they pull the same trick just once more, and it's always one too many. The difference between your average criminal and the rest of us is that he believes that if he came into money, he'd go straight. And we know that if we came into money, we'd all be as bent as they are in 2 minutes flat.
Eh?
Well, the dreaded tax man.
Oh, you should write some of it down.
Oh, for? So that a few of my friends would see my name in print. I doubt it would attract many clients. Few people would feel easy if they thought their little failings and foibles would end up in a book. No, I think the public are better off with the fruits of Ian's vivid imagination.
I could set the second half in the court at a trial. Now, trials always go down well. I remember somebody telling me once they bring the evidence into the jury room. What about if the diamonds are on the table and... No, too far-fetched. Who was it? That's somebody in the common room. They said they were out on a jury sitting on a drugs case and they dumped this hundredweight of homegrown grass on the table for them to look at. I remember he said he glanced round the 12 good men and 3 of them's eyes were on stalks. Still, nobody would ever believe a jury could arrive at a unanimous decision to knock off the exhibits. Till it happens. No. If she's on trial and the solicitor for the Crown is... What on earth could that be?
Oh, good evening. Mr. Rodway?
Yeah?
I wonder if I could have a word with you.
Who are you from?
Well, I'm not from anybody.
Come in.
Oh, thanks very much.
I thought for one ghastly moment you were from the town hall. I never send the rates till I get the man calling.
No, I'm not from the town hall.
And neither are you a little liberal nor else a little conservative?
I'm not canvassing, if that's what you mean.
Well, don't tell me. Let me guess. 2 years ago, I'd have said you were a parent.
I'm not even married.
You're not on business, and you're not canvassing. You're not a neighbour, are you?
No.
Nor from the church?
No.
Well, I give up.
Well, as a matter of fact, so hey, I was...
Listen. You can't be my anonymous donor. You are. You're the one who sent me that lovely liquor.
Yes.
Well, good Lord. Come on, sit down. Oh, what a marvellous thing to do. Let me get a couple of glasses. You know, I told my agent, and he'd never heard of it happening before. He represents some very big names. People send presents to actors, announcers even, but never writers.
Well, I liked the play. I found it very enthralling.
That's awfully nice. I mean, it was only a bit of a run-of-the-mill thriller. Here, Mr...
Masters.
Mr. Masters, have a nip of your beautiful scotch.
Oh, thank you.
Cheers.
Your health, Mr. Rodway. Unfortunately, I didn't manage to eat it all.
Oh, and how did you...
Well, you see, I was working at the time. But I just caught enough to follow the plot. As it was about Scotch people, I thought a bottle of scotch would be appropriate, as it were.
Superb stuff, isn't it? Mm. We get the local supermarket's own brand, and that's only if we're feeling wealthy.
Well, we are your wife?
Well, she's gone round to see Mother.
Oh, pity.
But she loves the Cointreau.
Nice.
Would you like a copy of Negative Earth?
Very much. I was wondering.
Yeah?
Just what gave you the idea? The central...
I mean, stealing the negative?
Hmm.
Well, I can't really remember. BBC asked me to write a thriller, and I thought, well, I'm a bit tired of corpses and that sort of messy rubbish, and money's a bit unimaginative, and, well, I read once about a film laboratory, and voila.
Brilliant. Oh, even my associates were impressed.
Well, we try to please.
How many other plays have you written?
12. Mm-hmm. And a spell of writing soap opera.
All about crime, were they, the plays?
Oh, no way. I went into crime last year. Now, the first stuff I wrote was very heartfelt. About life in a sink comprehensive in South London.
Written from experience?
6 years of it. Then I did a sequel set in a junior school.
Again?
Again, mm-hmm. Deeply researched for 3 years.
And they went well?
Very well. Audience seemed to like them, except the 30-odd letters I got from teachers who said I was writing off the top of my head and no school was the least bit like the ones I'd portrayed. So, after a couple of love stories which didn't really convince even me, I turned to crime. Of which, I may add, my experience is limited to putting foreign coins in slot machines and ripping up the odd parking ticket.
No complaints?
No, none at all. Funny, isn't it?
Maybe you've discovered your true subject, Mr. Rodway. The public will always be fascinated by it. And if, like yourself, the crimes are original, up to the minute, tomorrow's crimes, as it were, then I don't see how you could fail.
Yeah, try telling my bank manager that.
Bank managers? Oh, what do they know? They're little men, Mr. Rodway. They're the last people to see the potential of your ideas.
How exactly do you mean?
Well, I saw a film once. Well, I'm not one for the cinema. I've never fancied the idea of sitting with rows of people all facing the same way. But the film I'm talking about was really worth the effort. Perhaps you'll remember it. It wasn't English. About a jewel hoist in Paris.
Rafifi? Oh, I'll never forget it. That long sequence when they got in through the ceiling and caught the plaster in an umbrella so it couldn't set off the alarm when it fell on the floor. Oh, beautiful.
Exactly. Now, everybody I know saw that film. To me, it was the ultimate in entertainment. It was gripping, it was real, it was educational.
Educational?
Educational, Mr. Rodway. Like your play yesterday.
Was it?
Definitely. Of course. I doubt whether anybody could pull that job now. If there's any sense at all, the laboratories and the film companies will have learned from it in the same way as Rififi made people aware.
I'm not sure, but I think the penny is beginning to drop, Mr. Masters.
Are you familiar with the name of the author of that film?
No.
Nor me. But he deserves the best, wherever he is. What a mind! It's ideas that count in this life, Mr. Rodway. Ideas. Ideas alone, though, are not enough. All too often, your man of ideas is not a man of action. Take yourself, for instance. Oh, you'll excuse a familiarity, but... these bookshelves here, they're merely piles of bricks with scaffolding planks resting on them.
Well, I need something pretty strong to support my books.
Yeah, well, these shelves tell me something about you.
Eh?
Such as you've got a lot of books, big books. Therefore, you read a lot. And for easy access, you need them easy to handle.
Right.
With that in mind, for simplicity of design and easy construction, scaffolding planks resting on piles of bricks takes a lot of beating. It shows that thought has gone into it. And further, from experience, I know the scaffolding planks are not easily bought by private customers. It's more a thing a builder would purchase. Am I right in assuming your capital outlay on these shelves to be very little?
My God.
A true man of action would have planed the builder's marks off them planks. Nevertheless, the idea is a good one.
Mr. Masters, you are obviously a man of action. What exactly are you here for?
To meet the great man in person.
Great man?
Of course. It takes great men to have great ideas. In the beginning was the word, eh? Would Karl Marx be any less great if the Ruskies hadn't set about each other after reading his books? Of course not. He had the idea, they had the revolution.
That's a quaint argument.
Whatever the rest of us do, we'll always need the ideas, men. Would you believe it, Ian? May I call you Ian?
Feel free.
Right. Would you believe it? I know an ideas man. He lives in a style which you and I wouldn't know anything about. Carpets up to his knees, no expense spared, and in all his life he's never had an idea in his fat head to touch your play. He's a powerful man today, Ian. He never does anything. He just sits there having ideas.
What sort of ideas?
Well, the sort of ideas you wouldn't think twice about. And he's loaded. He doesn't need bricks and scaffolding boards.
Touché.
And the beauty of it is, from his point of view, he's never involved, never implicated. Nobody outside the circle knows of his existence.
I see.
I shan't inquire how much you have paid for negative earth. None of my business. But I could tell you how much I think that idea was worth. Was worth, till the play went out. At a conservative estimate, I reckon the price of that idea in the right market would be 50 grand.
You're joking.
About money, there are no jokes, Ian.
50,000?
At least.
Oh, I need another drink.
To one person, £50,000. But to 50,000 people, perhaps not even one.
I see. Yeah. Pass me your glass.
Oh, thanks.
50,000? How do you think that I can help you?
Cheers. What are you writing at the moment?
Well, I was just thinking up another plot.
For the broadcasting?
Yes, I suppose so.
Then I suggest you might do well to think again.
Well, what's to lose? If you're serious.
I'm serious.
Trouble is, you see, I tend to think in play form.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, some writers have it all planned to the last detail before they actually begin to write the dialogue, but I'm not like that. You see, I start off with a basic idea and some characters, and I find I fill in the detail as I go along.
Well, that's okay with me. Write me a play.
A play?
Sure. Try to set it in London with not too many actors. Must keep costs down. But apart from that, let your imagination take off. If it's anywhere near as entertaining as Negative Earth, I feel certain we shall all profit by it.
A possible crime story?
That pays.
Why not?
Indeed. Well, you'll be on to me as soon as you think of something, right? Here, you can raise me at this number. Oh, and I expect you usually get a little in advance.
What's this?
520s. I should put it somewhere safe. You never know nowadays.
Listen, Mr. Masters,
Look at the time, Ian. Oh, I must go. Let's drink a toast, shall we?
Good idea.
That's it. I give you a good idea.
A good idea.
Right, gentlemen. Let's call this visual meeting to order. Leonard, dear boy, a teeny weeny more pianissimo with that lovely music. I expect you're all wondering madly why you're here. Well, my brave, let's not mince matters. Momentito. Yeah? Yeah. You see. Thank you. That was the little bird that tells me things. I'm happy to say he was up early as usual, and he thinks he's caught a worm. I'm referring, gentlemen, to an erstwhile colleague, William Henry Masters. Yes, gentlemen, the selfsame Masters whose services we contracted three months ago to undertake a certain project. I don't have to remind you to what it refers. Sadly, however, I must report that not only has that contract remained unfulfilled, but the party in question has apparently decided unilaterally to operate outside the protection of our syndicate. In fact, this very moment I've received information that he has been seen leaving the house of the man he is supplanting me with. Gentlemen, we cannot tolerate such treachery.
Ian!
I can't tell her, she won't believe
me.
Home,
darling. And what's my clever little husband been doing today?
Hello, darling.
Don't tell me. 3/4 of a bottle of whiskey gone.
Just had a little drink.
Oh, you don't say.
Would you like one?
No, thank you. I don't suppose you remember to get anything for supper, did you?
Nope.
Oh, really?
Because we're going out for dinner.
Are you out of your mind?
To the best place in town to celebrate.
Celebrate what?
Well, do I need anything specific?
We are not going anywhere. And if you knew what our account stands at, the last thing you'd want to do is celebrate. We might have something to celebrate if you did a bit of work instead of sitting in that chair all day staring into the fire and drinking whiskey.
Ah, that's all you know.
There are 2 glasses here.
I had a caller.
Who?
A fan.
A fan?
Chap who sent the parcel. He came round.
Did he really?
He was most complimentary. He thought the play was a wonderful idea. Very nice chap.
Must be.
Oh, appreciates ideas, that man. In fact, he's about the most appreciative man I've ever met.
He should come round more often. It's obviously very good for your ego.
Oh, yes, he'll be back. He wants me to collaborate with him.
Collaborate?
Yep. Wants to produce one of my plays.
Oh, I get it. He's from the BBC. Why didn't you say so in the first place? Did you tell him your idea about the solicitor?
He doesn't want to play about solicitors. Silly little many. No, I'd no idea as a solicitor.
Mr. Hetherington makes more in a month than you make in a year.
Money. Can Mr. Solicitor Hetherington turn that writing pad into pound notes? Because I can. £20 notes.
God, you are drunk.
Writers, we need nothing but papers and pencils. That's all we need. We can go anywhere. We can do it anywhere.
Here you are, then.
What?
It's the writing pad. The kind you can turn into pound notes. Can you turn a few now for me, genius? I want to go down to the shops and get something for supper. Come on, what's keeping you?
What's keeping me? Oh, well, turn you back.
What?
Oh, turn. Oh, please. Can't work my magic with you there, gawping. Right. You can look now. Here you are.
What the? 3 £20 notes.
You see? It works.
How?
Solicitors. We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams, wandering by lone sea breakers and sitting by desolate streams.
What did that man say to you? Well, if we're going out, you need a strong coffee.
We are the dreamers of dreams.
A funny old way to make a living, isn't it? Here's to artists everywhere, to the scribblers and the music makers, to the poets and the painters. May the little men in their big cars forever be to pass to your door. May they bring you good whiskey and always turn your paper and your paint into £20 notes. £20. Painters and painters. Great painters. Good God! Eureka! That's it! Painter, that's it!
I think I've left him waiting long enough. Show him in, Leonard.
Thanks very much.
Oh, there you are, my dear boy. Come in. Come in. I'm gratified you could get along here so soon.
What did you want to see me about?
I want indeed. Bush beating is such a bore, don't you think? So I'll come straight to the point. Dame, rumour hath it that you have decided not to fulfill the contract, Mr. Masters.
What? Who told you that?
True or false?
Well, I mean...
Yes or no? Oh, my Masters.
I think it would be best put off for the time being.
Put off? But it was all settled, all signed and agreed.
I can't feel it. I just can't feel this one.
Indeed.
It's too...
Too what, pray?
Unimaginative.
I see. Not diverting enough. Very low in amusement value.
It's not that.
Altogether too mundane and routine, I understand perfectly.
Look, for the time being...
You need something rather more piquant and picaresque. In fact, your next role must have drama, am I right?
The snatch outside the bank, it's been done too many times.
Oh, naturally. The critics are not going to be interested in reviewing your production unless you give them something new. You'll not be asked to guest for Russell Harty merely to talk about a run-of-the-mill snatch.
Luke, I don't know what all this is about. I'm only saying the more a job's pulled, the more they're onto you. The less your chances.
I know what you're saying, Mr. Masters. You want out. You're no longer interested in making a mere living. You want a career. You want the glittering prizes, and to further that ambition, you're prepared to wave goodbye to dreary little me and rush off with your latest crazy infatuation. Because you think he'll make it happen for you. Well, let me tell you something, little Sir Lawrence. You haven't a chance. Not a snowflake, ducky. With or without a scriptwriter, you'll never be big time. You'll never be a Ronnie Biggs. You've no charisma. You're Dullsville, darling. Leonard, show this gentleman out. And turn that bloody row off.
You can't talk to his sort like you would to a human being.
No, don't take it too much to heart, boss. That's my advice.
The trouble is, though he mightn't do anything worse than hit you around the ear with his handbag himself, he's got friends, Button. Yeah, real rough trade.
Let's worry about that when they come knocking.
Yeah. Oh, Ronnie Biggs. He may have star quality, right, I'll grant you that, but it hasn't done any much good, has it?
What are we going to do now, then?
I don't know. The way I feel I could do with a bloody good holiday.
You sure we're doing the right thing, boss?
It's like I tried to tell him before he started screaming the odds. I can't feel that job, Buttons. It's the only way I can put it.
Well, still, perhaps you should have gone a bit easy till that writing fellow come up with something. I mean, what do you write? It could be a load of rasp, man.
Well, if it is, then we write down again. But I don't reckon it will be.
Remember the 4:15 at Adock Park? Worrying credit to the ghostwriter.
Are you on your instincts?
We need one really good job together, that's all. To give us confidence. Kitty, two more light ales when you're ready, love.
Coming up, Mr. Masters. There's a bloke in the public looking for you.
Oh?
Bit of a scruff, but he's never the law. Says his name's Ian or something.
Ian.
I never let on you through here.
Oh, Ian, yes. Show him through, will you, Kitty?
Oh, righto. Hey, did you hear about Rummo, Mr. Masters?
No.
They done him again yesterday. Only been out a week. Still, it was a break for him, I suppose.
There you are, Button. I told you, I'd picked a winner. I've got a feeling about this boy.
I hope it ain't nothing that need a long time to plan, boss. My old lady getting right fed up with me at home and not scoring.
Here he is.
Kitty is right about this guy. He's looking real untidy, man.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Mr. Masters.
May I introduce Button, my assistant, Mr. Ian Rodway Button, the writer, the author of Negative Earth.
That were a really good job, man.
Thanks.
Beer for you, Ian.
Please.
Make that three ales, Kitty.
Righto, Mr. Masters.
I hope you didn't have too much difficulty finding the place, Ian.
No, I took a cab.
That's the style. How are things shaping up?
Well, that's what I wanted to see you about. I thought at this point we ought to have a script conference.
Good idea. Oh, you can feel free with Button.
Ah. Well, I think I've got an idea. For a very tight little thriller.
Good, good, good. Does it have a payoff?
Oh, yes. In fact, I've got one or two ideas. You might even say neat plots, but none of them seem quite right.
Let me be the judge of that, Ian.
Righto, after all, you are the producer. First idea I thought about involved a bank.
Bad news, man. We just decided...
Button!
Sorry, boss.
Sorry, Ian. Carry on.
As I say, the main setting for this little piece would be a bank. A large bank with, say, six or seven clerks on duty.
Big banks can be very difficult, Ian, to get right.
Right.
Oh, it isn't a raid I had in mind. I've worked out a way of taking money out of the bank without violence, no fuss, and definitely no fisticuffs.
Top drawer, Ian. First rate. But not quite right for us, perhaps, at the moment, that is.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Your tree lights, Mr. Masters.
Right, sir. Put them down, Kitty.
Go on, Ian, man.
Contain yourself, Button. Keep the change, Kitty.
Thank you, sir.
Cheers. Right, Ian. What was it you finally hit on?
The theme of the play you commissioned. It's easy, it's amusing, and it's tight.
But is it performable?
Oh, believe me, it'll play itself. I've even cast a leading part. Here. Look at this photograph. Do you recognise her?
Yes. Yes, I do. It's that, the artist bird, the one, she was in the news on the telly the other night.
10 out of 10. She was on the telly because one of her pictures just sold for a record £30,000.
Yeah, she's quite a tidy-looking woman for one of them artists.
A bit freakish for my taste, but full of herself.
That gentleman is your leading lady. For purposes of the play, I've called her Anna Bold.
That's not a real name, a real name.
Anna Bold will do fine as far as I'm concerned. Do not forget, I hope, that you asked me to write a play. That's the limit of my involvement.
Right, right, right. You better tell us the story, Ian.
Mm-hmm. Like all good plots, it could be written on the back of a postcard. A gang. A daring, charming, non-violent gang. Say three men, one of whom's an intelligent, slightly idealistic, middle-aged Raffles type. One is a very broad-shouldered, powerful, but gentle man who doesn't say a lot, but stays very cool in a corner, dependable, you know.
Arresting?
Yeah. Yes, he could be. The other one would be a comic relief. I haven't got a clear picture of him yet.
Oh, yeah. We might have to write him out, Ian. What do they get up to, these blokes?
The most daring and original stunt of the year. That's what they pull off. They kidnap Anna Bold.
What?
They make off with her body.
What for, Ian, man? It doesn't sound very daring to me.
And is that all?
What more do you expect?
Let's get this straight. You want to write a play about the kidnapping of a woman, not just a woman, a painter.
Not just a painter, Mr. Masters, the painter. The record sums paid for her work, painter.
I don't get it. So she's doing all right, this painter. Who pays?
Nobody.
I don't know much about it, but it's on a very funny play, ma'am.
Nobody pays?
Not in money, no.
Then how?
That's always the problem with kidnapping plots. How do you collect? Well, this one is guaranteed 100% safe because our little kidnappee brings it with her. In her head and in her hands.
I thought you said this was simple.
I'm totally lost. Her talent. She paints her way to freedom. Now do you get it? You see, she's given, say, 5 canvases to paint, and when she's filled them all up, she's free to go. She's free. She just leaves behind the 5 paintings.
5 paintings? At £30,000 a throw?
That's £150,000, man.
Right.
When can you start writing, Ian?
Soon as you like.
Fantastic.
Charlie, I want none of your rubbish now. No quick sketches. I want every inch of that canvas covered in paint. Then I want your signature nice and clear in the corner. Anna. Now, how would she react? These 2 men standing over her, demanding she paints a picture. Of course. If what all she says about herself is even half right. She'd look at Button, I mean, she'd look at Clyde, wouldn't she? She'd take in his lithe, brown frame and the muscles rippling in his arms, because by now he'd have taken off his coat, wouldn't he? That's it, yes! That's why she doesn't scream the place down. That's why crime can pay for once. She fancies the man. I mean, in life she probably would anyway. He's attractive. I can imagine she'd make the most of the situation. I mean, don't they always say that the victims develop special relationships with their kidnappers? I'm sure she will. Anna, what would you like me to paint? Charlie, what do you usually do? What sells best? Anna, my nudes go very well. Charlie, you'll have to make her up out of your head, because we've got no women. Oh, I like it, I like it. Anna stares straight at Clyde. Anna, I don't paint women. Oh, this is going to put the fear of God up Button when he reads it. Charlie, how long does it take you? Anna, about 2 days. And then I like to come back and touch it up. Clyde, look, man, I ain't doing none of all that jazz. Charlie would recognize the breakthrough, wouldn't he? He'd want her to enjoy herself. Charlie, don't just stand there, Clyde. Drop him. Oh, I can't believe they're really serious. It's potty. It's all potty. I mean, even if they cover her eyes up till they get her there, she might still recognize something. Nope. They keep the windows of the rented cottage drawn. The painters need light, don't they? I mean, she'll have a view from the window. Painters have good visual recall. If this was an ordinary play, that's how I'd get them caught. She'd sit down as soon as she was released and paint the view from the window. It'd be recognised and bingo. Fade-up sounds of approaching police siren. But in this piece, they're not going to get caught, are they? So this place they take her to must have light, but nothing else. I've got it. It's not a cottage. It's a boat. Ah, oh, that's perfect. They rent a boat. And then she won't be able to slip away while they're not looking. Oh, it's magnifico. Yeah, it means going back and altering a few scenes, but not to worry. It's necessary to suffer for one's art. I hope they appreciate all this. Oh, come on, let's finish this scene first. Clyde, you never said anything about this when I took the job. Charlie. Look, he'd call her Anna by this time, wouldn't he? Look, Anna, I don't mind you painting him, but do you mind changing his colour a bit, just in case? And giving him sunglasses. Oh, blow. Hello?
Ian, Rogers here, old chap.
Oh, hello, Brian.
I won't keep you long. I've been talking to the editor on Firetech. You remember I said I'd mention your play to them?
Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid it says I thought about that one. Doesn't quite fit their formula. But they would be interested in hearing from you if you've got any other ideas.
Oh, yeah?
Ideas, I said. You've come to the right boy. So, they're interested in seeing one or two possibles. When can you let me have them?
Well, I'm rather tied up at present.
Oh, I thought you were...
I'm researching something.
Oh, what's that?
Just an idea, sort of speculation. I shall be finished in a week or two.
Ah, too late, old boy. Still, not to worry, you carry on. They never had to cancel a series yet for lack of writers. Give a ring sometime, eh?
Well, be like that.
It's a lovely piece of work, Ian. Lovely!
Well, except for the bit about Clyde doing all that undressing.
Noble savage. Stripped to the buff except for his rimless spectacles and signet ring. I put that in for a joke.
Oh, never mind the joke. I think I'll make a very fetching picture. We may include that scene.
That list you wrote out for us, the stuff we'll need. I've managed to get it all. It's down on a boat now. Only trouble, as far as I'm concerned, I ain't never driven a boat.
I expect you'll manage, Lou.
There's enough tubes of paint to do 50 pictures, let alone five.
Five is all we need, man. I don't fancy spending all year in that old town.
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, you're all going off on a holiday somewhere. What you get up to, none of my affair.
Fair enough, Ian. You've done your side of the bargain, now the rest up to us. I'll tell you one thing, though, and I think this goes for the rest of the lads. I can't remember when I've enjoyed... How shall I put it? Enjoyed the...
Rehearsals.
Right. I can't remember when I've enjoyed rehearsals more. And if the first night goes as smooth, it's going to be plain sailing.
When exactly does the curtain rise?
Wednesday night. Things have all worked out very nice for us, and barring accidents, we should open the tour and be back in town in about 2 weeks.
Well, good luck. I shan't send you a telegram, but I'll be thinking about you.
Right.
Thanks for everything, Ian, ma'am. I'm really looking forward to this. It's as good as a holiday to me.
Let's hope the weather holds for us.
I best be off then. Good luck, lads.
Right.
I'm looking out for the reviews.
Hang on in there.
Be in charge.
Leading boat.
Under the new rules, this document has to be signed by you, and I should therefore be obliged if you would sign at the foot of page 3 and return it to me as soon as possible. I will then file the divorce petition. Yours, etc. Good. Well, I think that's all for now, Jean.
Right. I wouldn't mind getting away a little early this evening, Mr. Hetherington.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course, Jean. Any particular reason?
Ian's got a surprise planned.
Oh, something nice, I hope.
Don't know. He told me to go out at lunchtime and buy a new dress, so I suppose he did.
Oh, any particular reason?
None that he's mentioned, but he did seem very happy this morning, as if a big weight was off his mind.
Well, perhaps he's heard he's won the pools.
But he was just as bubbly. Things have been a bit odd for him lately. He's been at a loose end, you know.
Mm-hmm. How long has this been going on?
Over a month. He hasn't seemed able to settle down to any work. Every time I brought the subject up, he's been so edgy.
Well, what's happened to his play about the solicitors?
Oh, he dropped that. He got some bee in his bonnet and worked night and day for about a week, since when he doesn't seem to have done a thing.
Oh. Well, you'll have to do something about that, Jean. Perhaps he needs a tonic.
That's what I thought. Mm. But this morning he was as bright as a button again. Oh, let's hope it's just a passing phase he's been going through.
You don't think he's got, well, anything on his mind, do you?
Such as what?
Well, anything. Money worries?
Not at all, no. In fact, he's never mentioned money since he did his little conjuring trick. You remember I told you.
Yeah. Oh, yes. The £60.
Mm. No, I don't think it's money.
Yeah, well, you don't suppose... forgive me for asking, but I do consider I'm rather an expert. You don't suppose there's another woman?
Woman? No, he hardly even goes out.
Well, at 38, he's a bit too young for the male menopause, I'd have thought.
Yeah, it's probably just a mood.
In that case, it's nothing Dr. Work won't cure. What he needs is to get a good play under his belt.
Yes, that's what I keep telling him.
You know, it's funny we should be talking like this. I was thinking early at breakfast this morning, something I saw in the paper. I thought, there's a good play, if only one could get all the facts. That artist female.
Hmm? Oh, yes, no, I read it. What's her name? The painter who disappeared.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, there's more to that than meets the eye, if you ask me. Kidnapped, indeed.
Yes, did you see her pictures? Brown as a berry, a grin from ear to ear. You've never been through all that kidnapping nonsense, I said.
Oh, I shouldn't be surprised if it wasn't all a publicity stunt.
Yeah, or a cover story for something she's been up to, something she doesn't want her husband to find out about.
I don't think she's married, Jean.
Well, there must be something.
Yeah, I agree.
Particularly as she said she wasn't going to make an official complaint. Yeah, there's obviously something been going on.
It was ever so funny, though, wasn't it?
Huh?
The kidnappers making her paint those pictures before they'd let her go.
Yeah.
Did you see the mirror? It was all over the front page. Paint your ransom.
All I can say is that if it was a publicity stunt, it certainly worked.
You're right. It would make a hilarious play.
Well, then, why not mention it to Ian, eh? See what he thinks. Baby, baby, come on in. How wonderful to see you. My dear, you're looking sensational. Absolutely sensational.
You wanted to see me?
Leonard Champers, it's not too early for Champers, William. The sun is almost over the yard arm.
Champagne will be fine.
The Louis Rodin crystal, Leonard, and tooth straws. Sit down, you divine man, and tell me all.
I thought you said last time I was here...
Oh, do not remind me. Desolately, absolutely beside myself, a big chagrin. All I can say is I was wrong and you were right.
I had no style, no charisma.
Oh, baby, no. Darling, I am grovelling. A star is born, I cried when I read about your lovely, lovely exploits. London is at your feet, my dear. I never saw anything like it. The sheer sauciness, and what a target, William. The golden girl of art. I was speaking to someone who knows her manager. Apparently, they're over the moon. They reckon it's made her global at a stroke. Some of the offers she's getting are making even her blush.
I suppose it was pretty cool.
Oh, it was the work of a master.
She turned out to be quite a nice chick, really. You know. Well, really clever. And in all the smart chat, a bit lonely.
She'll never be lonely again if half of what I've heard is to be believed. And do come clean. Is it true about your gorgeous button? Did she really paint him in the...
The altogether? Yeah. Absolutely full frontal.
I must have it. I must have it. How much?
When it comes on the market, I'll let you know.
I don't care what price. I just want first refusal. It's already the world's most coveted painting, and nobody's even seen it. Oh, there you are, Leonard. What kept you? Do the honours, William, dear boy.
Right.
You know what this has done, don't you, my dear? It's made us showbiz. There. William?
Hmm?
Down the hatch.
Cheers.
To us. To, if I may say, a genius.
It was Ian who thought it all up.
Oh, you're a dear little radio writer. I'm not talking about him, dear heart. In this house, lights under bushels are forbidden. It was your idea. I admit he worked well enough in the circumstances, but yours was the vision. For that's what you did that afternoon outside the bank.
When I listened to the afternoon theatre.
When you saw crime as drama and drama as crime. Nothing will ever be the same again.
I suppose that's true.
We have entered a new age. Leonard, recharge the glasses. Steady now, not all over the carpet. I drink to you, William Masters, and... to your success.
Thank you very much.
Well, my dear friend, whither now?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I haven't had a chance to talk with Ian yet.
Rodway? What's he got to do with anything, William?
He's my scriptwriter.
Nonsense, dear heart. I mean, is he under contract? Did you promise to use him and him alone?
No, but...
But me no buts, William. You've got a sweet, kind heart, and it does you credit, but there's one thing you have got to remember. You have made it. You are a star. People look up to you. They look up to you, my dear, and they'll want to copy you.
Copy me?
Oh, yes, already the word's out. You'd be amazed. Only this afternoon I heard of a smash-and-grab man who wanted to put the entire writing team of Coronation Street under contract.
Get off.
I cross my heart. You have set the style for the next generation, but do you think that the kids who are looking to you for an example, kids who are just coming out of approved school, will look up to a man who has his projects written by a radio writer? I don't have to tell you the answer, do I? Those kids have never heard of radio plays, let alone Mr. Ian Rodway. They'll expect to hear of you appearing in Harold Pinter, John Osborne, even Dennis Potter, but not Ian Rodway. Oh, my dear, that was yesterday's news. More champagne, dear boy. Cheers, baby.
I'm sorry the boss couldn't make it, Button.
Don't fret yourself, man. I guess all that success has gone to his head.
Still, it was nice of him to send me the second half of the fee. It'll ease the strain for the time being.
I was asked to go too, but I said I'd come over and see you.
Asked to go where?
To the party at her place.
Oh, Anna Bold, yes. I read about it.
She really fell about when I told her that was her name in the script.
She must have.
She's a real cat, that one. You was wrong about one thing, though. It was Masters she dug. I just stood about while she did the painting. They were as thick as...
thieves.
Something like that.
Did the boss send any message?
No, but he said to keep in touch.
That message I get loud and clear.
Well, I suppose I'd best be getting along. You know my old lady? Yeah, man, she's been giving me hell since I got back and she read about that picture of me. I won't tell you what she's gone with.
Yeah, cut along.
Keep trucking, Ian. You're a pretty good writer.
Yeah. And you, Button.
Come on in, Ian, old heart. It's always good to see you.
I was just passing, Brian.
Ah, well, you're lucky to find me, Ian. Must catch the bank before it closes.
I was wondering what was happening.
Quiet, Ian. Things are very quiet. Everybody's sitting on their hands.
That's about par for the course. What about Firetech?
Huh? Funny you should mention them. I was on this morning. No, they've got all the scripts they need for this series.
Fair enough.
Well, how are you placed?
Pretty free.
Well, what about that play you had on the stocks? It's about a solicitor.
Well, I'd more or less forgotten that.
Oh. Well, they're always keen on another of your tight little thrillers, Ian.
Are they? Oh, I do have a play they might like.
Jot it down. Just a couple of paps.
Oh, it's already written.
Oh, great, yeah. Great. What's it about?
Well, it's about this painter, you see. He was kidnapped by this bunch
by a gang and made to paint her own ransom. Oh, I wonder where you got that idea from.
Well, as a matter of fact,
Every writer in town had the same idea, Ian. No. You're too late, I'm afraid.
Too late?
They're doing a picture of it. Well, I know, because I represent the writer they've got doing the script.
I see.
There is one thing that might just interest you.
Oh?
Yes, I had a bloke on the phone yesterday. Strange, really. I didn't really grasp what it was all about. He said he wanted a writer.
What for?
But he didn't say. A very gall-blimey sort of accent. But he said he had the money and was in the market for ideas. Interested?
I'll think about it.
Do that, old son. Oh, look at the time. Look, I must get moving. I'll come down on the lift with you.
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams, wandering by lone sea breakers and sitting by desolate streams.
I've got this fantastic idea. Are you there? It's really good. What? You have? Well, I think this. Yes, I understand. Hello? Is that the BBC Drama Department? I've got an idea. I think Mike can trust you.
In Plots Have I Laid by John Rollison, Masters was played by Alan Lake, Lou Derek Newark, Button Oscar James, and Fat Man Roger Hammond. John Rollison played Ian Rodway, Rosalind Adams, his wife Jean, and Gordon Reed, Rogers, his agent. Hetherington, Michael Spice, Hillary, Teresa Stretchfield, Jed, Hayden Wood, and Baird, John Church. Plots Have I Laid was directed by Peter King.
Derek Newark is a National Theatre player. And Plots Have I Laid can be heard again on Monday afternoon at 2 minutes past 3.